Hi, this is CJ Wilson for the Green Bay Packers, and you listen to Railbird Central.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by Lieblog director Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. There's a lot to get to today after what happened at the NFL Combine, and is still happening. Two more days of the NFL Combine, today and tomorrow. Today, defensive linemen and linebackers workout, and just headline-making stuff already. Just started at 8 o'clock a.m. Jadeveon Clowney already ran his anticipated 4.440. He ran it in an unofficial 4.47 seconds. So Clowney living up to the hype as far as the 40 is concerned. Pittsburgh defensive lineman Aaron Donald, a short, quick defensive lineman, a guy who weighs 300 pounds, not quite 300, sub 300, but like 285 plus, I think he weighs. Running a 4.8 something, just absolutely impressive for his size. Very much a Mike Daniels type of player, I think Aaron Donald is. And you have to wonder if he needs to put on a few pounds to get closer to 300 to play on the D-line in the NFL. But anyway, I mean, so much stuff going on at the Combine. We're going to get to a lot of it. I want to kick off the show today with an interview from the Combine with Kent State running back and wide receiver Dre Archer. He ran the fastest 40 time at the Combine this year so far. We still have defensive backs to come tomorrow, so it's possible somebody could run faster, but I don't anticipate that happening. Dre Archer ran 4.26 seconds in the 40. That is the second fastest 40 of all time, only 2/100ths of a second off the time Chris Johnson ran a few years ago, now the Tennessee Titans running back. So 2/100ths of a second slower. It's really interesting to hear Dre Archer's comments. These were from earlier in the week before he ran his 40, but you'll actually hear him talk about what he's going to run that I think is really interesting to hear and see what he had to say in hindsight about his 40 time he's going to run. So let's listen in here. It's not long. It's only like 2 minutes plus long. But here's when Dre Archer met with the media at the NFL Combine earlier in the week.
I bring a lot of versatile play to my game. I can line up a different position, you know, play receiver, play running back. Also help with special teams. You know, I can line up anywhere in the field to have a probably have a lot of mismatches with other defensive players.
Yeah, so when you were talking about the wide receiver position, I think you played that number one this year than you did in 2012. What was the difference in there in learning the nuances of the wide receiver position?
It was just a new role, you know, just practicing more, you know, trying to perfect my craft of becoming a better receiver, knowing I'm about to play some receiver in the league. So, you know, it was just more about a learning role.
You know, talking to your former coach, Coach Williams, who's now at FAU, he talked about you and your effectiveness being an inside runner, you know, despite, you know, your size, weight, what you were. So, you know, talk about that.
I actually like running inside, in between tackles. You know, that's my favorite time to run the ball. You know, I'm not really much for the outside running, but I will if I have to. But you know, I like running between tackles. That's where I make most of my money at.
So if you're talking about this year, you know, you had some injuries and things of that nature. What was the deciding factor for you coming back to catch
the pitch? I talked to my mom a lot. You know, and I know I only have one semester, so I wanted to go back to finish school.
Trey, what'd you measure in at this morning?
5'8", 173.
And what are you hoping to run this weekend?
I'm going to break the record.
You're going to break the record? Do you have a time in mind?
Nah.
No? Just under 4.24?
Yes, sir.
Are you calling your shot right now?
Yes, sir.
You're breaking the record?
I'm going for the record.
How would you describe your last season of college football? Were you a little disappointed the way it turned out?
Oh yeah, I was definitely disappointed. You know, when you lose as many games as that after having a great season like that, you know, you're gonna be disappointed. But I mean, I can't, you know, really hold my head down to it. You know, stuff happens, so it's live with it.
Trey, speak up, please. It's hard to hear you on this side of the table. Can you talk a little louder?
Yes, sir.
Trey, when you look at the NFL now versus like 5 or 10 years ago, you look at guys like Sproles and Tavon. Do you feel like now the NFL is more ready for, you know, guys like you and DeAnthony to come in, like speed guys, and guys who can make plays in space like that?
Yeah, definitely. No, speed is something you can't really coach. You know, can't really just go out and buy speed anywhere. So, you know, guys like me and DeAnthony, you know, smaller guys, is gonna be, you know, cause a lot of problems in the league.
What makes you ready for the NFL?
I feel like, you know, I've always been ready for it, you know. Even though I'm little, you know, it doesn't really matter to me, you know. It's always been something I can do.
That's Dre Archer, the Kent State running back / wide receiver / return specialist who just ran the second fastest 40 time at the NFL Combine. You heard him. He said he was going to run the fastest ever. He called his shot, didn't end up doing so, came up just a little bit short, but darn, he really did come close. I've covered the NFL Combine for 4 years now, and almost every year somebody does that. Somebody says they're going to run the fastest, and none of them have so far. I mean, Chris Johnson's 40 has stood up as the fastest for, you know, what darn near a decade now. Dre Archer did come close, second fastest of all time. And yeah, so I really do, as you can see in the at the top of the screen here, a Randall Cobb-esque talent Dre Archer is. He's a little bit smaller. He you know, where Randall Cobb is about 5'10 and 190 some pounds, Dre Archer is like 5'8 and 170 some pounds. So smaller, quicker, but I do think there are some similarities. I think a lot of people will compare Dre Archer to Dexter McCluster of the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's a really good comparison there. Those guys are definitely about the same size, same speed, things like that. But I mean, with the McCluster, Cobb, any of them, you know, a guy who can play running back as well as wide receiver on the outside. And while, you know, Dre Archer is listed as a running back and can play there, I think, you know, you're not going to see him there much in the NFL. Because of the pounding you take at that position, and only being 170 pounds, you're not going to take many carries in the NFL at that weight. He'll be more of a slot wide receiver in the NFL. A lot, I think, like Randall Cobb, you know, a guy who basically is a receiver that lines up occasionally at the running back. And when Randall Cobb does line up at running back, he does really, really well. Heck, he was averaging like darn near 10 yards a carry there for a while. The injury kind of prevented him from doing that a whole lot more this past season. So you're going to see Dexter McCluster, I think, be more of a slot guy, receiver type. And he did that a lot in college, too. In fact, he they used him at Kent State more and more as a receiver slot type of guy as time went on. Not to say he wasn't ever a running back, but yeah, I mean, that's what kind of guy he is. Also a really good return specialist. Kind of had some injury issues his senior season there at Kent State, and one of the reasons they didn't have as good a year in 2013 as they did in 2012 when they won their division in the MAC conference. But Dre Archer, totally healthy. He's a guy who can return kicks, return punts for you as well, perhaps. You know, exceedingly fast and a really big threat. I don't know if he's a fit for the Green Bay Packers because they already have Randall Cobb, who's still a young and ascending player. But I mean, hey, if you're going to go late in the draft, it doesn't much matter, I guess, if Dre Archer is still on the board in the 6th, 7th round. I mean, you can find a spot for a guy like that if you're not making that much of investment into him. So he could wind up with any team, but definitely a good
talented player, really, really fast. And there will be a spot for him in the NFL because he's so fast. Yeah, it'd be nice if he's a little bit bigger, but there's a spot for Dre Archer in the NFL after running a 4.24 40. But lots of news coming out of the combine, and that's what I want to spend the rest of this episode talking about. All the news that came out from a Packers standpoint after Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson met with the media. And it's I think Mike McCarthy really does shed some insight in his interviews as opposed to Ted Thompson, who really doesn't say much, if anything. There's not a whole lot to glean from Ted Thompson's interviews, but Mike McCarthy does let you know what's going on with the team. And I think the biggest thing you took away from the combine and Mike McCarthy's interview is the changes that will be taking place on the Packers defense, talking about wanting to become more multiple, more creative, and things they had been actually planning to use in 2013 and never got to it because of so many injuries to so many players. I mean, we're talking about injuries to Clay Matthews, to Nick Perry, to Dayton Jones, to Casey Hayward. You know, major injuries that kept out these guys for long amounts of time, and the Packers never got to these things that kind of were in their playbook that they wanted to do. But when guys are out, you know, they had to be a little more vanilla. They couldn't spend the practice time on practicing these things because guys just simply were out on the sidelines, things like that. So, you know, with the I think I'm wondering perhaps in my mind, saying I've speculated now for about 2 years whether the Packers could run this hybrid style of defense in which you're basically running a 3-4 defense on one side of the field, a 4-3 defense on the other, kind of running zone on one side, man on another. Things like that, whether that's finally going to come to fruition, and there are kind of reasons to think it could, because Mike McCarthy talked about, you know, these guys, you know, being versatile in roles, talking about Dayton Jones wanting him to take a step up, wanting to see him become a three down type of player, you know, with him basically being used in his rookie year as a first round draft pick, being used in his rookie year as basically an interior pass rusher almost exclusively. Well, they need to get more mileage out of him. And, you know, it was largely due to his injury suffered the first snap of the first preseason game. I mean, it couldn't have been any more worse than that, right? When Dayton Jones sprained his ankle, first play of the first preseason game, that set him back big time. But, you know, and he ends up only playing about a quarter of the team's snaps the whole season. But I think, you know, did well as an interior pass rusher as a rookie, as a guy who was injured. Needs to take a big step, though, because they're looking for him to become that 3-4 base defensive end. And yes, maybe Dayton Jones needs to add some weight a little bit. There was kind of this thinking that you know, people have reported on, but you know, the Packers have never come out and said it, that Dayton Jones lost weight as the season went on, but you could kind of see it in his body. He just, you know, he didn't look like your typical defensive lineman, just, you know, had a hard time keeping on the weight, and he's going to have to work on that a little bit. I mean, you don't want to become heavy and slow by any means, but, you know, if you're going to be out there as a base 3-4 defensive end, hold up against the run, hold up some big blockers in front of you, he's going to have to get stronger, going to have to hit the weights a lot more. So just looking for a big step from Dayton Jones in general, and hopefully if he stays healthy, that'll be part of it. also talking about Nick Perry, a guy who's going to play maybe right next to Dayton Jones, you know, if they're lining up along the defensive line. It was interesting. Very first day of the combine, went to the press conference of Stanford's Cameron Fleming, a prospect for this year's draft. And somebody asked him, who's the best player you ever faced in college? And Cameron Fleming said Nick Perry back when those two played in the Pac-12, you know, Perry at USC, Fleming at Stanford, and said also talking about Perry, how impressive he was coming out of the 3-point stance, how Perry could play with a blend of speed and power. Fleming said, you know, a lot of guys you see are just speed or just power, and that Perry could do both and do it from a 3-point stance. And it goes back to what Perry, you know, what his best fit was coming out of college. You know, he said he was more comfortable in a 3-point stance. He said he wanted to be a defensive end. And, you know, the Packers draft him and kind of tried to turn him into this outside 3-4 outside linebacker. And Nick Perry isn't as good playing in space. Not to say he can't do it, but that's not his forte. His forte is not dropping into coverage. And it's very interesting how it kind of came full circle on Nick Perry. And then you hear about the Packers' plans to become more versatile, more creative, and you kind of put two and two together. And then Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com has a one-on-one interview with Mike McCarthy. This didn't happen during the major press conference that, you know, anybody could see and is available. Mike McCarthy talked about Nick Perry possibly playing an elephant end position. And if you don't know what that is, there's kind of a term out there that some teams use that is basically a defensive end outside linebacker hybrid, which, you know, just another reason that makes me think the Packers are going to play a hybrid defense. But, you know, it's a guy who is basically, you know, that 3-4, 4-3 defensive end, outside linebacker, tweener type, and just taking advantage of him as a pass rusher mostly, but a guy who is also big enough, strong enough to set the edge, play the run. A guy who can be out there pretty much all three downs. He's not really a specialist, but, you know, they can move him around and you know, play to his strengths. He can stand up. He can go in a 3-point stance. If they have to, he can drop into coverage, but that's not going to be where he's going to make his living. It's going to be mostly rushing the passer. That's where he's going to make his money, rushing the passer. And that's what the Packers need to get out of Nick Perry. They need him to put big time pressure on the quarterback, getting a lot of sacks, taking pressure off Clay Matthews, those two taking pressure off each other. You know, I mean, if one is double teamed, then the other's going to be freed up, and vice versa. That's what the Packers want and need there. I think that's what, you know, and now you just got to hope Nick Perry stays healthy. You know, I've said this several times in articles I've written. I don't think he's an injury prone player. Nick Perry has broken bones. He's not pulling hamstrings, things like that. You know, his rookie year, he breaks his wrist, goes on injured reserve. This last season, he breaks a bone in his foot. It doesn't go on injured reserve, but is out for several weeks and never was the same player since. You know, it's really, really unfortunate. But, you know, Nick Perry, if he is healthy, you know, there's a, that there's a role for him on this team. And I really, really think he was on the verge of breaking out. It was, it was weeks 5 and 6 or 4 and 5. I forget the exact, but he had like three sacks and 2 forced fumbles in 2 consecutive weeks there, kind of combined. He just was really, really coming on, and that's when he broke his foot, and it was all downhill from there the rest of the season, unfortunately. But I do think he was starting to put everything together, and that is there in the future for Nick Perry. Hopefully he has a dose of good health, and if the Packers do get these guys to stay healthy and they do get them playing these multiple roles, I think it could be a very, very dangerous defense. Hopefully it's just cyclical. You know, the Packers have had such bad injury situations the past few years. Hopefully it's just this is their year to have the good luck. You know, where Casey Hayward's staying healthy, Dayton Jones, Nick Perry, Clay Matthews, everybody's just staying healthy. That would be so nice. And the defense would really benefit from it if those guys are out there every game. They're out there every practice, learning together, kind of playing with each other, knowing the roles, knowing the responsibilities. That stuff is so big. You know, just being on the practice field together, just that time spent together, getting used to each other, knowing what the other player is doing so you can do your thing, concentrate on yourself. And no, you're not going to have to make up for somebody else. Those are all such important things that go overlooked a lot of times. But to get to some other things here as well, Mike McCarthy called playing Micah Hyde at safety an option, kind of for the first time acknowledging that we may be seeing Micah Hyde at the safety position. As you know, if you're a Packer fan, Packers got terrible, terrible production from the safety position in 2013. 0 interceptions from the safeties. MD Jennings, like, what, he had 2 pass deflections the whole season and 800 some odd snaps. It, you know, it just did a poor, poor job. And so, you know, how did the Packers fix it? Well, they're leaving open the possibility of Micah Hyde possibly moving there. And I think what's going to happen is the Packers are kind of waiting to see how things play out, because all of a sudden what's going to come now is free agency. And maybe, just maybe, the Packers get active in free agency. Now, are they going to get a guy like TJ Ward or Jairus Byrd? I don't know if they're going to be in the running for those guys. Who knows? Maybe. I'm not ruling it out. But, you know, maybe a second-tier guy like Dante Whitner, like Chris Clemens, even a lower guy like Jim Leonard. Who knows? Who knows what the Packers are going to do there? But, you know, it, all of a sudden, if they add a starting caliber safety in free agency, then maybe, yeah, they don't move Micah Hyde. So I think that's that the Packers are just not willing to commit there because they want to see how things are going to play out. And all of a sudden, well, you know, if Ward and receives the franchise tag and Byrd signs somewhere else and Whitner signs somewhere else and the Packers don't really get a top-tier starting safety in free agency, well then, yeah, maybe all of a sudden when the off-season program starts in April, maybe they start training Micah Hyde at the safety position, and that could change too depending on what happens in the draft. Now all of a sudden, if the Packers go safety in the first round of the draft, you know, they draft a Calvin Pryor, a Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, a Dion Buchanan, maybe then that they relent and they move Micah Hyde back to cornerback, kind of the slot cornerback. But something you can see with him, you know, he's hesitant to make the full-time conversion to safety. The Packers are hesitant to, you know, make a full-time conversion here, commit to him being a safety. And you know, this comparison has been made before. Maybe it's a situation like Charles Woodson with the Packers. You remember in his last year in Green Bay, Charles Woodson lined up in safety in the Packers' base 3-4 defense. And then when they went to nickel and dime, he came down in his typical slot cornerback position where he did so much damage over the course of his career. That's where Charles Woodson played his best football, as a slot cornerback, a guy where he was near the box, could play the run, could occasionally rush and blitz the passer. What was lined up against these slot guys that, you know, don't necessarily go deep down the field very often. You know, it maximized Charles Woodson's abilities, which are ample to begin with, in his prime at least. But even late in his career, could still get it done better at the slot than, you know, on the perimeter, things like that. Maybe that's in store for Micah Hyde as well, where he's in the base defense, he's a safety, and then, you know, when it's time for the nickel and dime, he can be that slot kind of guy. So maybe that's in store for him. We'll see. I mean, like I said, Packers gonna wait, I think. Gonna see how free agency plays out. Welcome back to Railbird Central. My apologies to those who are listening. We lost internet connectivity temporarily on the show, but I guess that's going to wrap things up here for Railbird Central. It's now past 9 a.m. We talked about, you know, the new defense with the Green Bay Packers, and there's still things we haven't gotten to yet, such as Sam Shields' contract desires, which came out in report by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Also that James Jones is going to be reportedly leaving the Packers in free agency, or at least that's what's anticipated, also coming from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. All those things coming down the pike this past weekend. We'll pick up with them on the next episode. Thank you everybody so much for joining us here at Railbird Central. Sorry for the connection issues there at the end, but we pretty much got through a whole show before we went out. So we'll be back again on Wednesday, folks, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV. Leave you today with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.